Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be speaking with Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald, who looks forward to the big North West Derby clash taking place on Saturday in Division 2B of the Alliance National Hurling League. Donegal hosting Tyrone at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny, with a place in the final up for grabs. Also on the show, we'll hear from Ulster amateur interprovincial manager Stephen McConnell as they head into the competition this weekend against the rest of the Irish provinces, which is taking place in Sligo. Paddy McDade is head of women's development at Finn Harps. We'll be speaking to Paddy about how the season has gone so far for the under-19s and the under-17 sides that are competing in the national competition. And indeed, it's with Finn Harps and football that we're going to start tonight's Score a programme. This Friday night, Finn Harps return to Ballybuffet for their fourth home fixture in six games since the season began. And Darren Murphy's side will be looking to continue their good early campaign form against Kerry. In their four games played last season, Harps won two and drew the other two. There will be live updates here on Highland from the game on Friday night at Finn Park from the 7:45 kickoff, in association with B&S Credit Union in Ballybuffet. Now, in this week's preview, Chris Ashmore has been speaking with Harps coach Kevin McHugh, who is also the club's head of academy, and he gave Chris a rundown on how things have been progressing this year.
Well, Kevin, first of all, looking at the academy and the underage, things have been pretty good so far this season. You're in a number of leagues, of course, the different age groups, and the competition, you're right up against the best, but I take it you're relatively satisfied with the way things are going.
Yeah, have to be. Like I've gone on record before saying, these national leagues that the FAI have introduced years back, they're now starting to settle in. They're starting to get stronger each year. That's the place to be if you're an aspiring young footballer anywhere in the country. So the leagues are getting better, the teams are getting better, the methods and the clubs are improving everything all round. So, yeah, when our boys come in to compete against these teams, they know they're up against it. And to be fair, like even at any sport, in my own opinion, and not the club's opinion, but my own opinion, I think they're the toughest probably gigs out there in terms of commitments and the travel and the games every single week. It really, really is a good education for them, you know, and we've been competing very well overall, right from our 14s, our new squad, right the way up to our 20s in the boys section, and then the girls section are in year two.
So just remind us again how many actual teams there are at underage level at Finn Harps these days.
At the moment, we've got our development squads, which is under 11s, 12s, and 13s, and they come on a weekly basis, and they remain with their clubs. So they come on a weekly basis. They play challenge games against like the Irish League clubs, and like the Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers, and then they go to competitions with us. And then you've got the 14s, 15s, 17s, and 20s, who are all signed and registered for Finn Harps, and they play in the national leagues. And most of those leagues are regionalised in phase one, and then depending on how you finish up in the leagues, you could go into a different league, and you could be bringing in, you could go as far down as Wexford, Tweedy, teams like that. We've had teams tie up against Cork City, so it really goes national, and it really is. Like people have seen it, and it was well documented last year, a couple of years ago, a couple of clubs refused to come up from Cork to us. But at the end of the day, I'm always of the opinion these boys have to get used to travelling. If you want to play in the League of Ireland, you're going to be on a bus a lot of the time. And it's about as much getting used to that as it is the levels of football you're playing. So the earlier they learn that, the earlier they get used to travelling and playing, then the better it is for them, you know.
So we now have a situation where somebody could start playing at under 11, they could progress 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 20. You know, they could be with seven or eight Harps teams and then maybe into the senior team. So there's a clear pathway.
Yeah, well, the first of those back with Aaron McLaughlin was probably the first of them. He was one of the first players to come right the whole way through all the age groups, right up to 17s, 20s, and then shoot into the first team. And he made his debut obviously at 16, but he was in the 19s panel at that stage. He had progressed so well, so you can see it. It's helping. It's helping us gauge the levels. It's helping us attract players, and then it's giving them a platform. They go and show what they can do on a national stage, and it's great for them. And what it is, like, I remember being, I'm just giving my own example. Years ago, I think the first time we played a Dublin team was when I was around 16. It was in a show and select team. We were down the Oscar Trainer in Dublin. So these boys are getting this exposure since they're 11. You know what I mean? They're getting exposed to the talents that's in the DDSL and Belfast from 11 years of age now. And I think that's a game changer. Did the Dublin clubs really need the National Leagues? They probably didn't, because the DDSL was that strong. But for sure, all the regional clubs like ourselves, Galway, Dundalks, Cork Cities, all these Waterfords, we really needed them. And you can see they're really, really benefiting us now. And you can see that even in some of the underage international teams now. It's not just Dublin players. It's dotted around the country now, from Cork City to Galway and to Derry, to ourselves, to Sligo. So it really is helping the regional clubs, and that's the way it should be, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, Harps are getting quite a few players who are getting recognised at underage level for internationals.
Yeah, you can see that. Oisin, Aaron would have been in the panel as well. Only Aaron's out injured. Aaron's coming back. Hopefully, touch wood, he'll be back in training with the full squad next week. He's just had such a quick progression. And then you've obviously Oisin Cooney, who was our number two. And he's had so many international games in the last, probably more international games than he had underage national games in the last couple of months. So that's a huge plus for him as well. And he's over obviously playing in the panel, playing against Portugal, and then he has Germany, Croatia, like, so that's massive, and you can't buy that kind of experience that he's going to get over there, you know.
And we've another Coyle coming up through the ranks. Mark Coyle's brother Darrell also making his mark.
Yeah, Darrell's coming on well, as is Max Johnson. And then I'm just walking around some park here as we speak, Chris, and we're about to train in about 20 minutes or so, and we have more players coming up from under 20 squad to join in 11v11s, and all those boys are really, really catching Murph's eye, you know. Every time somebody comes up new, his cousin, who is this, and admiring the qualities that they have, so that's a plus, and I think I went on record saying this before. This is the way the club has to be. We don't have the money to splash out and bring players in left, right, and centre. We need to produce our own. And I think there's something really, something for the fans and for the likes of ourselves and the board to be proud of. And there's a future in it. If you know what I mean, there's no future in just throwing money at teams and doing well 1 year and dropping off the levels for 2 or 3 years because you overspent. You need to have a budget, you need to stick to it, and you need to have a plan, and the plan is in place for the last couple of years. Obviously last year, it was well documented, it wasn't a great season on the pitch, but there was a load of pluses that nobody would have seen, and a lot of that has come into fruition now in the last 6 months, and it really stems from and trying to produce your own players and local players, giving them a chance and letting them progress. So long may continue, Chris.
Absolutely. And away from the actual training on the pitch, strength and conditioning and the off-the-field aspects of the game now, and nutrition and things like that, how important is that now?
Everything. And again, the boys are lucky enough, anybody comes into the National League levels, they would get the same education as the 20s, we get the same education as the 14s on everything we're trying to do. Obviously, they're not doing the same type of work, But they're still getting the same education and how important it is, how important the food you put into your body, and the energies it produces and the recoveries and also all that. And to be fair, a lot of the schools are covering this as well. So you have a lot of players who are a lot more educated than they were in my day, which does help, because it helps us maybe train them for longer, and it raises the level, the standard of training, the standard of games, and stuff like that. But it's hugely important in the first team level. We've had young Owen Logue and Gary, who's in covering our strength and condition this year, and they've done a great job. And again, what I like about it, it's all football based conditioning. Yes, you have bits and pieces of gym stuff, but you're being conditioned to be a footballer. It's not all about the gym, and because this sport here, there's a lot of the technical demands is much higher than a lot of other sports, and the gym does count, but it's not everything. And so it's important when we do get to the gym that it's football based, you know.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to playing the matches in the underage leagues, the pitches that are used, some will be AstroTurf, some will be grass, and then the grounds themselves, do the players get the chance to play at the likes of Talca Park and Richmond, or is it a case of going to secondary grounds?
It all depends. This time of year, it is majority of AstroTurf. Once it comes in the May, June, July, August, that time, yeah, the pitches will be used, the stadiums that the first team players would be playing on. But you have to remember there's a lot of teams at every club, and you could have up to three times, maybe four home games within one club, so everybody can't play on the one pitch. Albeit I don't like AstroTurfs, but I can see, I see Cove Ramblers have installed an AstroTurf. It wouldn't be my preferred surface, but I can see exactly why they done it, why they had to do it, because every club now has so many teams, and the finance that it takes to run all these teams every year, and obviously you see us down at the community centre very often there midweek, and we're not spoiled for choice in the county for 4G, so it's a busy place during the week, so. No, they do get to play on the stadiums, as do the boys here when Flint Park pitch is available and Flint Park pitch is playable, and then the girls and the boys, they get their turns on the pitch during the year, so that's also a positive experience for them, you know.
Yeah, and what about the injuries on artificial surfaces? Do you think there are more?
Well, I can only we'll speak for ourselves. We've had a few knocks and injuries in pre-season ourselves. And can you put it down to solely the AstroTurf? Possibly. Like, I know we've blamed AstroTurf, but will we get the same kind of injuries or different injuries on grass? I don't know. And that's been honest with us. I know it's been well documented. There's probably too much grip on AstroTurf. And some of the modern boots you get nowadays, there's no give. So when you're turning left or right or shifting, and there's really no give on the grip, and the ligaments and ankles and stuff would really, really need to be super strong. They withstand all that and changing direction all the time. So I've no doubt that those cause injuries. But unfortunately, where we live and the amount of rain we get, there is no other option at the moment, you know.
All part of it. Kevin, just turning to the fixtures this weekend and going through them, Athlone against Longford, both sides, well, Longford seem to have more games postponed than they can play at the moment. The two of them struggling a little bit at this early stage.
Yeah, nobody should be looking at any tables at this stage. Teams are trying to find their feet. There's been a lot of turnover, a lot of clubs. And I've no doubt both those clubs will come good. From the games we played them, we came out the right side of results on them, but they could have very easily went the other way, you know.
Yeah.
And that could be us we're talking about, trying to find our feet. So the margins are very, very thin at this level.
Yeah.
Usually people that get the first goals and stuff like that. But I've no doubt that both those squads will come good, because they have quality players and they have good coaches at the helm. So, mm-hmm.
Bray in action against Wexford, it's Cove against UCD, and then the match of the weekend, Treaty against Cork City. Now, okay, it is early days. Treaty and Cork both have made a good start. Harps joined second as well. And, you know, if Harps could win against Kerry, you know, perhaps we could see even at this early stage sort of a little top three emerging?
Yeah, even if we do one, that's not something that we're looking at. It's definitely not something we're looking at the table. Like, even tonight we just had a coaches meeting. We've just so much to improve on as a team. Even from last week, even for the loss or draw last week, and it was the same after the Cove game when we lost. We've just so many areas we need to improve on. There's not enough time in the week to work on a lot of stuff, so you have to divide it up and kind of put it in blocks as the months go on. So we have a lot to improve on, and if we can pick up results along the way while we're improving, then brilliant. But we're far from the finished article, and certainly not be looking at tables, and there'll be nobody in the change room looking at tables either. And if we hear tell anything, we'll be coming down in like a ton of bricks, you know.
Now, Kerry, the opposition this weekend, into their second season, they'll have learnt a lot from that first season. And last year, you know, they gave Harps a good run for their money in the games. They were pretty close.
Yeah, I have to agree. When I came in, they helped Aaron out at the end of tail end of last year. We beat them 2-1 here, but certainly didn't deserve to win the game. Our keeper at the time, Tuda, pulled off 3 or 4 brilliant saves at the very end, and they should have won the game. They play with, it's kind of one of those ones, Chris, where they're not expected to go into any playoffs. There's no relegation in the first division, so they're playing with an absolute freedom. They're in year two. They're developing as a club. There's no real pressure on them, so you can see they are playing with that freedom, and when you play against teams like that, it can be dangerous, because they leave people forward. Yes, they leave gaps at times, but they certainly leave players forward, and they can definitely hurt you or damage you on their day. We're very well aware of that. And every game we played them last year, we never got an inch around the pitch, so we're expecting the exact same on Friday night, you know.
Yeah, and having slipped up against Cove, Kevin, you know, it'd be nice to record another home victory, and I know the desire is there to make Finn Park hopefully a fortress once again, and, you know, if you can please the home fans at home, that's half the battle.
Yeah, that's the one. Everybody wants to make their home patch a fortress. Easier said than done. We've been solid against Athlone, we were solid against Cork, but again, and neither of those games, and certainly not the Cove game, did we put a performance together for 90 minutes. And that's something the group needs to start learning to do. We need to put a performance for 90 minutes, or at times you don't deserve to win games. 45 minutes last week was enough, but you can't keep doing that and expecting to get 3 points. So we just need the boys to start growing as a team and start learning the game a wee bit more, and start performing from first whistle. The referee blows the 94th or 5th minute, whatever it is. And that's the only way you can give yourself the best chance of getting 3 points. Playing for 45 minutes, you are really leaving it in the lap of the gods. So that's something that we're working on as a team and as a group. And we're going to need that on Friday night for the beginning of Kerry. We need to perform for 90 minutes, and if we can do that, and with the players we have now coming back from injury, players getting fitter and stronger, you can see players starting to settle into the team that we brought in this year, all those things, when they click, then you just never know what can happen this year, you know.
Kevin McHugh speaking there about Finn Harp's latest First Division game, which is against Kerry tomorrow night, and also how the Academy for the Boys has been progressing. Now, there's also a Women's Academy at Harps as well. Paddy McDade was appointed Head of Women's Development at the club a number of years ago, and recently, following a partnership with the Donegal and the Inishowen League, Harps set out a plan to have two teams competing at under-17 and under-19 level this season. Paddy has been telling Chris that the teams have settled in well to their respective leagues.
Paddy McDade, Finn Harps Head of Women's Development, also manager of the under-19 women's side. We're into the new season. Paddy, let's first of all look at the under-19s. They got off to a great start, beating Piemont 2-1 in the opening game, following that up with a victory against Dundalk and then losing out against Bohemians just last weekend. But overall, I take it you're well pleased with the way things are going.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, delighted the way the Gaers have reacted this year. I mean, obviously last year, our first year in the league was a big learning curve for the Gaers themselves, for the coaches, for everybody involved, parents and everything. So, you know, like anything, when you're starting off, it takes time just to get your systems in place and an understanding. And, you know, we had a really, really good pre-season this year. We've brought in a number of new players. We've brought back players from last year. A number of players moved up from under 17s to 19s as well. Like, so that's been excellent as well. So listen, excellent start. Down the way to Piemont, 1-0 down after a couple of minutes. And just the character we showed to come back in that game is really, really good game of football. Gaers come out top and then I thought we deserved it. The following week then was a completely different game against Dundalk. It was more of a physical battle and something different for the Gaers, but they showed resilience again after going up 1-0, say two goals before half time, and to come back and win that game as well showed a lot of character. And of course, going to Dublin, I mean, we've got Bows and Shells in our group as well, so we knew that would be the benchmark, that would be the real test for us. And although the scoreline was 4-1, I think the Gaers did very well. Maybe a bit of a slow start, maybe it's the bus journey and so on. But you know what, it's just great for the Gaers to see the level that we need to be at. I said at the start of the season that we would rather be playing these top teams from Dublin. We're in a really tough group, but you know what, we've held our own so far, and it's all learning, you know.
So what way does the league work? You know, there's five teams in your group. What happens when you've played each other? Is it twice each?
Yeah, we play each other home and away, Chris. There's five teams in our group. There's two other groups and they both have six in it. At the end of it then, it's normally the top two go through to the elite phase for phase two, and then the other teams go into the second phase and then the next stage, whatever, and then next group. So listen, whatever one you get into, you're going to have competition. Last year we ended up playing in the second phase against teams like Galway, Athlone, Dale Always, you know, so there's no easy games, but I think the Northern section, we get a lot of tough games, but I keep saying that we're going to learn far more by playing these tough teams, and we've shown we can compete with them this year already.
Yeah, now the under-17s, they had a great start to the season, beating Dundalk 4-0, and I think a little bit of history was made. Was it Caitlin Doherty becoming the first Harps player?
Yeah, Caitlin Doherty from Cairndonagh, and scored a hat-trick, fantastic hat-trick, but a great team performance from Patrick McGrannan's team and Thomas Hughes, as his assistant. A great win, they played very well, it was a home game, and then they went down to Dublin last Saturday, and you know, again, for the Gaers, it was a big learning curve for them as well, playing against a top team like Bohemians, but you know, a different kind of game for them, but they showed resilience, and they Ireland did very well, defended very well. Could have made a bit of penalty too, so we've been looking that way. But overall, they're satisfied with their start as well.
Yeah, and the game against Bowes, what did it finish? A draw?
0-0, yeah. Yep. I'm sorry there.
Now, looking a little bit further ahead for Finn Harps, so what's the long-term plan, Paddy? How many women's teams will there be?
Well, at the moment, obviously, you've got the under-17s and under-19s, and, you know, it's great. We have players coming through now from the Little Women's League and from the National Women's League, and it's fantastic to see these players coming together. I suppose the first opportunity to get to do that is under-15 Ulster schools, which I'm involved with as well. Like, so there's a lot of talent throughout the county, and it's just going to take time to maybe develop that and nurture that, you know. So eventually, obviously, we'll want to have our senior women's team as well, and a lot of these players will be the future. Don't know what they're chatting nationally about, maybe going down to a lower age group, but that's all for again. But at the moment, 17s and 19s at the moment is enough for now, to be honest. There's a lot of work involved in it. Great help from parents, but there's a huge cost, Chris. Like last year, our bus cost alone for 17s was like 11 grand. So a big thanks to all our sponsors from last year. It's really much appreciated.
Yeah, big undertaking. And, of course, it's not just the transport. You have your training costs, the hire of pitches, and the games themselves. Do you generally play on grass or AstroTurf, or is it a mixture?
It's a mixture, Chris. I mean, this time of year, we play a lot of our games in our community centre there, and Ballyar, we have a couple of games in for as well. So this weekend, the 17s play Drogheda on Saturday, down at the Community Centre at 3:30, and on Sunday at 3 o'clock, the 19s play Shelburne, which will be a really good game as well, up in Ballyar. So now, from May time,
last year. We played a lot of our games down in Ulster and Football Club, which I'm associated with. And it's great to get back onto the grass pitch at that time of year. And we're really grateful for Ulster and FC for all they do to help us to play there and stuff. You know, it's great.
And can you see a direct spin-off from the Women's World Cup? You know, there has been a pick-up in interest in the game.
Oh, absolutely, Chris. Like last year, the girls got to play a few games in Finn Park as well. And I know our secretary, Rory White, is trying to get a few games this year as well. But no, back to what you said there, even now, organising a school tour after we come back from Easter, you know, the Ireland-England game, trying to get the students going to that. And you know, there's a lot of interest in going to even that game, the fact that it's going to be on the Viva as well. So there's a huge knock-on effect, and you can see it. The girls themselves are really more interested. And you know, in the past, I suppose, there didn't have as many role models, but now there's loads of role models for these girls to look at and go, yeah, I want to be like her. I want to play over in England. I want to play in the League of Ireland here itself. There's a lot of local girls going and playing in the National League and doing well. You know, so like I said earlier, the goal for us is to have that senior women's team in Fun Park as well in a few years' time, you know.
Yeah. Well, you've touched on it there. You know, Donegal has had internationals and continues to have internationals at the highest level in the women's game. And several of the clubs around the country have players who are from Donegal originally, so it augurs well for the future.
Yeah, and that talent base has always been there. Like, you know, like it's going to vary at times, and there's different hotbeds, you know. Like, but overall, there's a really good talent in this county. But I think it's also, you even see it at the underage level. Like, you know, in the National Women's League, Donegal Women's League, there's more and more girls playing football. And starting to join in leagues and stuff like that, so the interest is phenomenal, and it is totally a spin off the World Cup. It's just the Irish national team doing well as well, so as long as that keeps continuing, I think the interest is going to grow and grow, and it's great to see so many girls getting involved, participating and playing, and as a result more parents getting involved as well, like, and indeed more female coaches coming on board too, which is very important.
Yeah, we hear a lot about pathways, and the same applies to the women's game.
Yeah, you know, it's a word that's thrown a lot around, you know, and it's something that I'm very much for as well. Like, there is a pathway there, like, you know, and I know earlier conversation we did talk about, you know, results and stuff like that, and as much as that is important as well, like, you know, we do have an ethos too where we're trying to promote players, we're trying to develop every player, you know, and I suppose when you're on a good run of wins too, like, you know, you do like to reward those players that have played well and stuff, you know, but other girls are there too, knocking on the door. And some girls appreciate too that maybe they're a bit younger, that their developmental stage is different, maybe physically, biologically, they're just not ready yet. But we talk to them about it, we explain the process to them, and it's very much an open book that way.
And overall, would you feel, you know, the FAI have got it pretty much right in this way, in terms of the way the game's developing and the structures there at the underage level and leagues, not having these national leagues?
Yeah, I think it is, Chris. As I said, I'm also involved with the Ulster Schools, and I'm actually chairperson of Ulster School Girls. I think maybe just a wee bit more communication between schools, between the FAI for national league, things like that. You know, I had a player recently who a Northern Ireland final on a Monday for senior, but she was supposed to play for us on the Sunday, the first game of the season. And, you know, I had to manage her, and maybe I couldn't start her because it wasn't fair for her playing for school the next day, you know. So just wee things I got there needs to be addressed, I think, in the future, because it's a very important issue, player welfare. And you can't ask girls to play two full games in two games, especially at a high standard, you know.
Yeah, but overall, everything is going in pretty much in the right direction. And from a Finn Harps perspective, a case of onwards and upwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mentioned a couple of coaches under 70s last year. Desmond McGinty under 19s as well. Like, you know, so these guys are very dedicated. We train two nights a week. We play at the weekend. The girls did a really good pre-season. They're doing their own sessions, their own gym sessions, things like that there. We've been to the gym, doing a graft reserve in pre-season. So, you know, just the standard of everything has just gone up to a whole new level, you know. And the players are, I mean, these players travel from all over Donegal to train two nights a week, Chris. So their aptitude and their application is unbelievable. Like, so they want it. It's there for them now at the moment, which is great. And we'll hopefully continue to provide that at Fun Park, and hopefully we'll see a senior women's team in a few years' time as well.
That's Paddy McDade, head of women's development at Fun Harp, speaking there to Chris Ashmore. So then, you're tuned to The Score on the Thursday night here in Highland. We're going to go for a quick commercial break, and when we come back, there's more soccer and Gaelic games.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to The Score. We're going to stay with soccer, and the FAA Amateur Interprovincials are being hosted in Sligo this coming weekend, with Ulster set to face off against Munster, Connacht and Leinster over three matches, with games starting on Friday, then on Saturday afternoon, and then the final round of games, which will take place on Sunday. Ulster recently appointed Stephen McConnell as their manager. The side is made up of players from both Donegal and the Inishowen Junior Leagues, and Stephen now joins us on the line. Stephen, welcome along to the programme.
Thank you, Eoghan.
Well, Stephen, I suppose, how's preparations been ahead of the competition for you?
Yeah, fairly good. Like, it's, well, a bit last minute. Like, I was probably only approached there about 2 weeks ago about the job, but in saying that, in terms of recruiting a team, it's been brilliant, actually. No player has said no, given the eligibility and criteria rules that have been involved in the competition this year. It's made it a bit more difficult because some players have been ruled out because, you know, they've played League of Ireland or Irish League Premier Division football, and that completely rules you out, etc. So, bar that there, like, every player I've asked has said yes, and yeah, we've got the strongest available squad possible, given the two leagues that have been taken into consideration.
Yeah, obviously the Donegal and Junior League are the, sorry, the Donegal and Inishowen Leagues are the two leagues that the squad's made up of. It's sort of like a mix, is it, of an Oscar trainer side from both leagues, is it?
Yeah, give or take, yeah. One or two that mightn't have been in Oscar trainer squads, but most of them, yeah, would have been. And as I said, then you're taking out the boys that play League of Ireland, etc., just to make it an even playing field.
Yeah. So give us a rundown of your squad. Who do you have available for the competition then, Stephen?
So, yeah, we have two good goalkeepers in Blake Forkin from Letterkenny Rovers, Mark McConaughey from Fannin United. Defensively, we have Lee McColgan from Cock Hill. Lee wouldn't need no introduction in football. He's a capped Irish amateur international several times. One of the first names in Cock Hill seat. You've John Jared McLaughlin from Glengad United, also capped Irish international at amateur level. Leon Doherty, Letterkenny Rovers. You have Kieran McGrath from Buncrana Hearts, also capped at Irish amateur level. Corey McBride, Cock Hill. Calvin Gallagher, Buncrana. Owen Slevin from Donegal Town. Eddie O'Reilly, Fannin United. Terence Doherty, Glenn Gads. Ryan Cunningham from St. Catharines. Keelan McConnell from Letterkenny Rovers. Christy Fildara McLaughlin from Glenn Gad. Owen Murphy, Buncrana Hearts. Peter Carr from Fannin United. Owen McGuinness, St. Catharines. Paul Doherty from Ellis Celtic. And Dan O'Donnell from Bonagie United. So yeah, we have a great team assembled. And we fancy our chances heading into this.
Yeah, good squad of players there. Have you, obviously you haven't had much time to work with them, Stephen, given that you're only in the job a number of weeks.
Yeah, that's unfortunately one of the things that have gone against us, and probably has been for a couple of years now. Like, as far as I know, the Leinster, Munster and Ulster team, or Leinster, Munster and Connacht teams are back to their kind of training since November, so they've probably got a better look at their players, but like, I'd like to think we know the boys in Donegal are available with their own experience, myself and my backrooms. So I think, yeah, we've assembled a fairly strong team given the circumstances.
Yeah, and you had to quickly assemble a backroom team as well. Who do you have at your side, Stephen?
Yeah, the backroom team now, I'm very, very appreciative of them, like, giving up their time at very short notice to make a 3-day trip to Sligo. Andrew Foley, who's League of Ireland experience there, coaching with Finn Harps from Wexford Town. He's in. Emmett McLaughlin, from formerly coaching in Alloch. He's come in and give me a hand. And Tony Blake, goalkeeping coach from Letterkenny Rovers in Derby.
Yeah, so three men that know a thing or two about football. What about the opposition now for this weekend? Obviously, you have the other four provinces in Leinster, Munster and Connacht, and recently you had the youths, of course, at an interprovincial competition, and you've seen the standard there. What's the standard going to be like here, Stephen?
Yeah, much the same. Like, we've seen other teams' preparations. Like other teams are coming with nutritionists and physios and six or seven coaching staff. They're making a real go of it, but like, we've seen the teams they've had available, and yeah, they're very strong. Like, we've seen in the Munster team, they have several players from Rockmount who won the Intermediate Cup last year, and there's quite a few players who would have managed against the Rovers in my time there. Similar at Leinster, they have a couple of players from, like, I suppose all the strong leagues in the Leinster Senior League, and they had a couple of players in from North End United who we had played earlier this season back in February for Letterkenny Rovers. So we know a wee bit about the players. Like, some of the lads have known them. Like, there's a couple of boys down in Munster there, caps quite a few times with the Irish amateur international team, so a few of the lads would know them and stuff. So you kind of are wary of some of the danger men, yeah, that other teams have.
And what about the venues that you'll be playing on this weekend? Because obviously some of the surfaces there are astro, so they are, and the others have the grass pitches, so it's a mix of stuff, is it, Stephen?
It could possibly be all astro. It just depends on where you're at. Like, our first game's in Ballysadare on Friday night at 7 o'clock. That's an astro pitch. Our second game is in McSharry Park in Sligo. That is an astro pitch as well. That's at 2 o'clock on Saturday. And then our third game is Sunday at noon. Now, it depends if you're going for to win the competition. Your game could be in the showgrounds in Sligo, which would be a grass pitch. And if you're not, it'll be in McSharry Park on an astro pitch. So there's potentially three games in astro. So you just have to, we've had to get the boys, you know, to bring boots to suit all surfaces.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned there as well, Stephen, that the rest of the provinces have been doing a lot of work a lot earlier than what Ulster have. Is that a bit of an Achilles heel for you in the back foot here, you know, going into the competition? Is it a disadvantage for you?
Look, I don't think so. Look, preparations ideally could have been better in certain aspects, but like, we've got the strongest available squad to us, given the rules that have come in about players playing League of Ireland football or have to be assigned to the Ulster FA for 2 years. And as I said, no player said no. So I think that was the great buy-in from the players, that we got such a strong squad assembled in such short time. So we know what they can do. Like, you can try and work on some things, like a bit of shape. We've had a team meeting there last night, and we're having one each of the 3 days over the weekend. We have rooms booked in the hotel for that, and we're currently working on doing up like tactical sheets and positional set pieces and set plays and stuff. So we're working on it as best we can. You can only prepare for these things in so much time anyway. Like, as much as you could be training since November, you're not going to see anything different than you might see this close to it.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for taking the call, Stephen. And we wish you and the team the best of luck this weekend in those under-provincials in Sligo.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Okay then, moving on to Gaelic games, and a number of standout fixtures and important games for North West Counties coming up this weekend. On the football front, our feature game on Saturday evening is Donegal against Meath. We will of course have live commentary here in Highland from that match, but Donegal have already secured promotion into Division 1 and will also face off with Armagh in the Division 2 final, which will take place on Easter Sunday at Croke Park. So really nothing to qualify or left to play for, but I'm sure Jim McGuinness will be looking to get more game time and into the legs of his Donegal players with the final coming up, and then of course the championship, which will be coming up on the third weekend of April. But all the matches in Division 2 are taking place at the same time at 7 o'clock on Saturday, with Kildare against Louth, Cork against Armagh, and Cavan also playing Fermanagh. And then on Sunday, Derry and Tyrone have matches in Division 1. Derry have basically one foot in the Division 1 final. As long as they don't lose and the likes of Dublin and Kerry win big, Derry will be assured of a place in the final. Tyrone are taking on Dublin at Croke Park. Dublin currently tied in second, with Kerry 2 points adrift of Derry. And Tyrone safe, of course, in Division 1. While Kerry, who are also battling for a place in the league final, they are taking on Galway at Fitzgerald Stadium, with the other match seen at Monaghan, who were relegated last weekend against Mayo. The final round of games in Division 1 of the Alliance National Football League. And we will have updates from both the Derry and the Tyrone fixtures this coming Sunday. Also on Sunday, ladies-wise, the National Football League Division 2, Donegal are on the road. They are taking on Tipperary. The game is a 1 o'clock start, and Donegal likewise don't have much to play for because they can't get promotion out of the division and they can't be relegated either. But they're playing for pride, as what they did last week against Cavan, and they're hoping to follow up that victory against Cavan with another fine performance on the road down in Tipperary on a Sunday. But before all that, on Saturday afternoon, there's a big Allianz National Hurling League Division 2B semi-final to take place at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. Donegal are taking on Tyrone in Letterkenny on Saturday at 1 o'clock, with the winner set to play Derry in the final. Now, both of these sides took respective ones last week, which assured them of a top three place and also, more importantly, ensured them of a place in the new Division 2 for next season. To look ahead to that game, we're joined by a man that knows a thing or two about hurling in the Northwest, and that's Alan Rogers of the Ulster Herald. Alan, welcome to the programme.
Hello, Oisin. How are you keeping?
I'm doing good, Alan, and we're looking forward to what's going to be a busy weekend of particular GA action. A big Northwest derby taking place on Sunday in Letterkenny, in Letterkenny at the O'Donnell Park, where Donegal are taking on Tyrone in the semi-final of Division 2B. Two sides that know each other very well, and I see already today that Mickey McCann has lost another two players for this week, Stephen McBride, the vice-captain at fullback, and the man that's been taking the frees, Jared Gilmore, he's been on form scoring, not going to be available for the weekend. Donegal are down two more bodies. Is that playing into Tyrone's hands, do you feel?
Well, I suppose Tyrone are coming at this game in very much in a degree of bonus territory, because they went into the Wicklow game and obviously they'd lost to London quite heavily the previous week, so the Wicklow game last Sunday was really a case of do or die for Tyrone, because if they'd lost that, they could have been down in Division 3 or Division 2B for next year. Instead of that, they went out, Aidan Kelly scored 18 points, and I know there was a very great desire within the Tyrone team last week to make their mark. Now they're into bonus territory, they're into a semi-final. There's the prospect of meeting Derry in the final. Tyrone are certainly anxious to reach that decider, but I suppose for both themselves and Donegal, the real win has already been secured, in the sense that they're both going to be in Division 2 for next year, and that's a big achievement for the two counties, because Division 2 next year you're going to have Meath, you're going to have Kerry, you're potentially going to have Down or Laois. Like Kerry a couple of years ago were Liam McCarthy Cup territory, so it shows the step up and standards is that going to be. Now, the absence of those two Donegal players, obviously, I think Mickey McCann said today that they didn't really realise that there was going to be a semi-final, so the Satanta boys booked this club team weekend away, and fully deserved it is too after their Ulster club success. But how much of an impact the absence of those two players will have on this game. Maybe it'll lull Tyrone into a false sense of security, and Donegal will catch them on the hop and reach that final. Who knows? But it's certainly going to be another very closely contested game. Like if we remember in the rounds proper of the league a few weeks ago, Donegal dominated for long periods. Tyrone at the end sort of got an equaliser and got the draw. So it's going to be an interesting game, Oisin.
Yeah. Certainly is, and obviously a place against Derry in the final is up for grabs, but given the way I suppose Derry have played this year in the league, and we've heard from both managers already this season of Tyrone and Donegal, they have said that Derry have been the best in the league this year and deserve their top spot. But with the championship getting closer, getting into the final, it's going to be another good test with the championship on the horizon, Alan.
Yeah, like there's only maybe, I think from this weekend, you have 2 weekends left until the Christie Ring Cup. And I suppose, again, both Donegal and Tyrone, they're trying to get themselves established at that higher level. And I know from a Tyrone point of view, against Derry in the first round of the league, Derry were really dominant. That game was played as a curtain raiser to the Tyrone-Derry football game. And Derry, as I say, were very dominant. Derry, I think, have upped the tempo dramatically in terms of their challenge in the hurling this year, and I think that's been reflected in the results. So they would be red-hot favourites. Whoever comes out of Saturday's semi-final, Derry will be red-hot favourites to take the title. But at the same time, I don't think it's really about that for Tyrone and Donegal, whoever progresses, because I think they'll be saying to themselves, right, we've got this crack at Derry. Nothing's expected of us, so we'll go out and we'll see how far, you know, we'll see how far the thing can take us if we play to our potential, you know, where we're going to be going into the last quarter. So it's a no-lose situation for whoever comes out of Saturday's game.
Okay, that's it then, Alan. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy the hurling and the football. I'm sure that you'll be watching at the weekend as well. Now, also on Saturday, there's a number of Northwest counties involved in semi-finals in Ulster minor football. In the league semi-finals, Donegal are taking on Down, and Derry are playing Cavan. Both games are starting there at 12 o'clock. And Tyrone are in the Shield competition. In their semi-final, they will play at Monaghan and Gervahi, while Armagh and Antrim are facing off at the Athletic Grounds, also at 12 o'clock. Derry and Donegal, by the way, both have home advantage at Owen Beg and Convoy in the minor league semi-finals. While in the Ulster Senior League final on Saturday, Derry's Swatra are going up against Donoughmore of Tyrone. Donoughmore progressed to the final by beating Gweedore earlier this week. Swatra obviously won the toss. They're going to have home advantage. 1 o'clock on Saturday is the start time there. And there's a number of Donegal teams also involved in Ulster League finals. Buncrana are in the intermediate decider. 12 o'clock start for them on Sunday against Mahrochlune off Monaghan. And then in Rosslea at the same time, St Mary's of Convoy are taking on Toom off Monaghan. So two Donegal sides hoping to win competitions ahead of the start of their own leagues, of course, which gets up and running in the county the following weekend. So there you go. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed the show, it will be available shortly online at highlandradio.com. Until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.